pleasant good morning. These devotions are brought to you by the Anglican Diocese of Bahamas and the Turks and Caicos Islands. I am Father Andrew Toppin, Rector of St. George's Anglican Church, New Providence, Bahamas. Today is Tuesday, the 26th of March, 2024, and it's the Tuesday in Holy Week, also known as Holy Tuesday. Holy Week is the last week that our Lord spent on earth. It is the most sacred week on the church calendar, or, I may say, the most holiest of the weeks. The last 3 days of Holy Week are known as the Great Triduum, the Great 3 days, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday. Our Christian faith is built on these days, and the icing on the cake comes on Easter Sunday. Let us make it a priority to be in church this Holy Week. Let us pray. O God, by the passion of your blessed Son, you made an instrument of shameful death to be for us the means of life. Grant us all the glory in the cross of Christ, that we may gladly suffer shame and love for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from St. John's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 20 to 36. John chapter 12, beginning at the 20th verse. Among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life for this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it, and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now the judgment of this world, now the ruler of this world will be driven out, and when I am up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said it to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that Messiah remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus said to them, "The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of light." After Jesus had said this, he departed and hid from them. The Gospel of Christ. I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. And these words came from Philip. Being there for one another in times of trouble is harder than it appears on the surface or what meets the eye. We often define a friend as someone who will be there for us when we need them. But what does that really mean? Our first instinct when something terrible is happening is to turn away, to run and escape, to get out before the terrible thing can suck us in as well. Car accident, cancer diagnosis, job loss, lingering bodily grief. We shy away as if they were contagious. If we make the decision that we're not going to run away, but instead stay with our friend who is suffering, our next instinct is to try and fix it, to say, no, look, do this, change this, fix this, and you'll be fine. It takes a very disciplined and patient sort of love to truly be there for someone in crisis without trying to fix it, an art that many of us sometimes despair of ever mastering. It is exactly that sort of love that we can often look back and recognize in God's response to our own dark moments. God doesn't abandon us, neither does God very often step in and fix us or our circumstances. God stands with us with the bravest and strongest love of all, the love that undergoes suffering with us rather than sparing us or God Himself. Holy Week is the test of whether we can summon that sort of love within ourselves or for Jesus. The Greek visitors to Jerusalem for the Passover in our Gospel today say something that has the potential to convict us in our relationship with Jesus. They come to Philip, one of the disciples, and say to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." We have to ask ourselves, is that statement true of us? Do we wish to see Jesus? Do we really wish to see him completely in his fullness, in his moments of glory, and in his moments of pain? Is that a question we need to ask ourselves today? Each of us will find one aspect or another of Jesus difficult to want to see. Some of us find ourselves drawn to Jesus most in times of humanness and trial. We love him most when we see him summon his courage in his moments of human vulnerability. Others find themselves drawn to Jesus in his moments of glory and power. They love the heavenly Christ, the cosmic Word, who undergoes creation and subdues the raging waters and scatters miracles from his fingertips. Jesus is all of these things. He is fully human and fully divine. We see both sides of his nature in this very gospel story. You can find which part of Jesus you relate to or which part seems foreign to you by how you react to his words in different parts of this text. When do you love Jesus more? When he says, "Now my soul is troubled," then you're probably in close relationship to the human side of Jesus. Or do you find yourself thrilling when he says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified"? Then you're probably in close relationship to the divine side of Jesus. There's absolutely nothing wrong with finding yourself touched and moved to see Jesus as a man, or Christ as God, or one, or more than the other. But it is important for us to reach for our understanding and encounter the opposite side of Jesus, the part we don't understand and identify with as much. And that is because we want the words of the Greeks in Jerusalem to be true for us. We want to be able to say, "We wish to see Jesus." Jesus is Jesus in his fullness, Jesus in his complexity, Jesus all he came to us to be and do. What can the parts of Jesus neglect teach us about the parts of ourselves we neglect? Are we comfortable with our own power? Are we comfortable with our own weakness? Which do we run from when we see them in ourselves? Which do we run from when we see them in each other? It is a lifelong quest our spiritual growth, to step into our fears rather than running away from them, to step into what we perceive as darkness that should be hidden away, and find the path, resurrection, and new life. If we can learn to embrace the wholeness of Jesus, the parts of Him that we understand and identify with, and the path that seem mysterious and foreign, we are one step closer to embracing the Son and the shadow within ourselves and each other. We are one step closer to seeing that humility and glory each have in their place and their value. There is something about approaching this precipice with Jesus during Holy Week, entering these days with Him, that are literally a life and death situation that should make us want to abandon all our complex plans for ourselves and our churches and our loved ones. As Jesus' allies and earthly power are stripped away from Him, and He bears it with such grace. More than that, He used the lessening of these extraneous things to drive Him to enter, to drive Him to the center of His purpose on earth. It leads us to repent of our attempts to control people and events around us. It leads us to let ourselves be willingly stripped of the illusion of power and control. We long to be reduced to the simple and heartfelt and honest desire in the gospel: I wish to see Jesus. For what is Holy Week but Jesus letting go of all of His... For what is Holy Week but Jesus letting go of all control of His life and His power? We know He could have swept away all resistance to His rule, saved Himself from trial and execution without breaking a sweat. But He let go. He abandoned Himself not to hopelessness and death, but to hope and faith. He let go and believed that His love for us was worth sacrificing everything, and the love of His Father will call us back to life on the third day. Can we approach these final days with Jesus that lead us to such a terrifying and painful place with the same faith that He displays? Can we really be there for Him with faithfulness that a true friend shows in time of crisis? The ability to be present through suffering without trying to fix it? Do we really want to see Jesus as He is in all His glory and all His pain? The answer to those questions will be the answer to a deeper quandary: whether we're ready to submit ourselves to death and resurrection, our full selves, the spectrum of our self and weakness, to the cleansing and purifying fire of Calvary. Can we let go of our plans, our defenses, our precious control, and grow to the cross with naked honesty, nothing hidden and nothing denied? It becomes clear that we cannot force honesty or courage on ourselves. We cannot force ourselves to be faithful to Jesus or to ourselves or our friends. We have to follow Jesus' example and let go. Let it go into what? Into the One whose every human cell and every human divine power was filled with one compelling purpose: to love us. Let us go into our beloved Jesus. And in His name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O God, the Father of all human beings, who loved the world so much that You gave Your only Son to die for man's salvation, make us, who have been redeemed by His precious blood, to die with Him to sin, to rise with Him to righteousness, and to walk with Him in newness of life, through the merits of the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Christ crucified, draw you to Himself. to find in him a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and assurance of sins forgiven. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit be among you, and remain with you always. Amen. Thank you for listening, and if possible, please share with family and friends.